This is Jane McMillan. I am interviewing Megan Kennedy, who is the director of the SVNA Home Assistance Program. She's going to talk about the Kenny Funeral Home, the Indian Mountain Lower Campus where she worked, and the director of Home Assistance. Today's date is October 21st, 2021. This is File 39, Cycle 4. And here we go. What is your full name?
Megan Kenny.
And your birth date?
March 7th, 1989.
And your birthplace?
Torrington, Connecticut.
And I'm going to talk a little bit about your career path. Tell me about your family's business first.
Sure. So I grew up living in a funeral home, which is in Sharon, the Kenny Funeral Home. And I was, as a very small girl, I watched my dad, help families throughout their roughest times. And I was able to identify with the fact that that is something I'm passionate about. So when I was about 12 years old, I asked him if I could help. And since then, I've been working with the elderly and or people who are going through a hard time emotionally.
That's a wonderful background for anything. You have a degree as a funeral director?
Yes.
And an embalming degree?
Yes.
And an education degree?
Yes.
Good woman.
Thank you.
When did you get in touch with Indian Mountain?
I was working at the Cynthia White Daycare after I graduated college in 2012.
Where is that, or was that located?
It's the Hotchkiss School Daycare.
It's within the Hotchkiss Camp?
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Thank you.
Primarily, they're used for campus faculty kids, but sometimes they'll open to the public. And I received a call from Trish Hostetter, who was the head of lower school at Indian Mountain at the time. And she was aware, she had been following me with my education degree, and she asked if I would be willing to interview for the pre-K teacher position.
How do you spell Trish's last name? Do you know?
That's a great question. I don't know.
I'll get back to you. Okay. And you did interview for the pre-K position. Did you get it?
I did.
Ooh,
yes.
Good.
Yes.
And how long were you a pre-K teacher?
So I was only the pre-K teacher for about a year. And then throughout my first year at Indian Mountain, I noticed that there wasn't a department specifically for lower school admissions.
When did Town Hill merge with Indian Mountain?
That was before my time.
All right, that was 2006, I believe.
Okay, yeah.
All right, and when did you actually become the pre-K teacher? What year?
2013.
Okay. And if there wasn't a position for admissions, did you create one?
I did. So I worked in admissions when I was at college, and I spoke to Mark Devi at the time, was the headmaster of the school.
Mark who?
Mark Devi, D-E-V-E-Y.
Oh, yeah, him I remember.
Yes, and he knew of my background in admissions, and I approached him, and I asked if I could potentially create the lower school admissions position, and I did, and from there I'd worked at admissions at IMS and as a dorm parent.
Oh, lucky you.
Yeah.
Who was the head of the lower campus at the time you were working?
Trish Hostetter was for the first year.
Okay. And then I have Kathy Preston down here.
Kathy Preston is the wonderful pre-K teacher who I took her place. She had been there for, I think, 30 years. So it was a big deal to lose her.
Now, Indian Mountain now is pre-K through 9?
Mm-hmm.
And the lower campus is considered what used to be Town Hill, pre-K through 4.
Correct.
And upper campus is grade 5 through 9.
Correct.
Alrighty. Keep changing things around.
Yes.
Is there anything that you'd like to add to the Indian Mountain section before we move on to what you do now?
I don't think so.
Except spelling. Alrighty. Now, you are part of the visiting nurses.
Yes, I am.
And you are an actual agency.
Yes.
All right. How did you switch from funeral home education into healthcare? What was the focus on that one?
So I have this natural want to help people in general, and I have since I was little. When I was at Indian Mountain, I lived on campus, and I had my first son, and I saw that SBNA had been advertising for the home assistance director. As a child, when I helped my dad, I remember specifically the hospice nurses, whether it be 3 o'clock in the morning doing removals or, you know, the hospice nurses coming to the memorials to show their respect. And I thought and knew at the time, from the time I was 12, that they were the most incredibly dedicated people, and it would have been an honor to have worked with them. So with the funeral home, my dad is, as he would say, still young, and he is not ready to retire, and wasn't at the time. So I wanted to find something that was a little bit more towards what I knew I was going to do someday. And working with SVNA allowed me to work with the elderly, but also be a constant for them during the aging process, which is overwhelming for most people.
It can be. And I'm just going to clarify, SVNA stands for what?
Salisbury Visiting Nurse Association.
All right. And what area does the Salisbury Visiting Nurses cover?
So SVNA Home Assistance covers the northwest corner primarily. However, we are branching out as we continue to get inquiries. We are starting to get a lot of inquiries from Litchfield, Goshen, Colebrook, and a lot of Torrington inquiries. So if we can help a client calling from those areas, and we are well-staffed in those areas, we are beginning to branch out of the northwest corner to provide more services for people.
Does the northwest corner have preference?
Yes.
Oh, good.
Yes, our little towns, as most people know, are tough to staff and tough to, so we want to make sure we provide to them first.
I'm planning ahead, you see.
I can see.
How do clients learn about your services?
So, I mean, right now, what we do is one of the top industries in America, so it's common for people to just do a simple Google search, but I have also made a point to be a presence within the community and educate people on home care and home care agencies. A lot of people want to know the difference between the little mom-and-pops, as we are, and the big corporations, which is I love to educate.
You're better.
Thank you.
It's the personal attention.
Yeah, and so I make a point to educate, reach out. If I've been asked to do lectures through Salisbury Bank and GEAR, and I've done my own on topics like elder abuse and long-term care. So I make sure that people know where that's coming from.
When and how can we contact the home assistance?
So we are actually open 24/7. It is not uncommon to get a call at 8 o'clock at night from a new client who needs help. So you can always contact us at our 24/7 line, which is 860-435-1266. And going back to that personal piece, a lot of companies now hire third-party after-hours services. I don't. I actually pulled it when I became the director. So I'm lucky enough to have people who work in my office go home, take home their laptop, their phone, and they are on from 4:30 when we close till 8 o'clock the next morning. So if you call, you're going to get somebody local and somebody who knows your case.
How many staff do you have in your office?
We now have 5 staff. 5 and a half. I've got a part-timer, too.
Where's your office located?
We're right on Salmon Kill Road. We're right next to the Housatonic Daycare.
So you're in the building with the family services?
Exactly, Patrice.
Yeah, I did Patrice a long time ago. You have a young man in the office.
I do. I've got two. This is new to the office. So this year, actually in the last 3 months, we've hired 2 men, which is great.
Yes. Yes, it would be. How many in the field, and I know that staffing is difficult, and
yes,
this has been really strange because of the pandemic, but approximately how many people do you have in the field now?
Depending on the season, we have between 50 and 60 caregivers working for us.
Now, when somebody applies to be a caregiver, you have to do all sorts of checking on them. What are some of the things that you have to check?
Sure. So, first and foremost, we do drug tests for all of our hires, background check through Department of Homeland Security, and then I require 3 work references, not 3 personal references, so we make sure that we can verify that way. And then, of course, if they hold a licensure, such as a CNA, which is Certified Nurses Aide, we verify that with the state of Connecticut as well. So it is a little bit of a process, but people hire us knowing that we have trustworthy caregivers who are qualified.
That's important. Mm-hmm. That's very important. How do you train them?
So we have several different ways. I have 3 ladies in my office who actually started with me as caregivers. 2 of them have their CNA. 1 of them learned just straight from experience. So we have the 3 of them who can teach caregivers how to do the hands-on work in office, and we have all the equipment to teach them. However, as we all know, a lot of these caregivers are very, very busy, work a lot of hours, so we also now have the top online caregiver course that they can take. So it's got over 400 classes that ranges all specifically for non-medical caregivers. It's called Care Academy. And if we feel a caregiver would benefit from a course, we sign them up and pay for it. If a caregiver just generally wants to learn, we sign them up when we make sure that they have as much education as possible. And that goes beyond also, we train anywhere from hands-on work, and then sometimes I'll do an education on how to work with a family member who's passing away, how to respond. I do a lot of the after somebody passes away, I make myself available for caregivers and kind of help guide them through that grieving process because they became so close.
Oh, yeah. Now, when that's business, but there are qualities that you would look for in a caregiver.
Mm-hmm.
What qualities would those be?
First and foremost, empathy. You can't do this job without empathy. You are working with people who, first and foremost, nobody wants us. Nobody, when they were, my age, said, I can't wait to have babysitters in my house someday when I'm old. That is not at all what people want. So empathy, having the ability to connect with a client is huge. My first thing that I do when I go in and sign on clients is I actually just scan the room and see if I can make a connection based off of maybe what's on their bookcase or, a stuffed animal that's on their couch. So it's learning and knowing how to connect correctly, but also just finding people who are committed and knowing the importance to consistency for our clients. Because this isn't a job that you could just start and stop and, not come in and think that a replacement is easy to find. So those 3, top 3.
What can your caregivers not do?
We cannot cut fingernails. It's an odd one, but we cannot pre-pour medication for aides or for clients. And or put our fingers into prescription bottles. So those are the top 2 things that we really can't do. We are also deemed as non-medical, so administering any medication, especially if it's towards the end of life, even if it's pre-poured, we cannot do. So really,
you can set it in front of the client, but they physically have to.
Correct. But if it's pre-poured, we can help them in like an applesauce or yogurt and feed them, but it has to be pre-poured.
I know this is going to sound silly, but has the need for your services increased over the years?
Absolutely, especially since COVID. When I began in 2016, we had about 25 clients and 23 caregivers.
Wait a minute, how much again?
25 clients and 23 caregivers.
And now you've got?
Depending on the season, we have between 55 and 65 clients at a time, and between 50 and 60 caregivers at a time.
Now, you said twice about seasons. Is it because the snowbirds go to Florida?
Yep. So I've got my summer clients. I've got my clients who just come down for the holidays. And I've got my snowbirds who leave for 6 months out of the year. So we are always prepared for them to come back. And so that's why we use seasonally, because we also guarantee that they can have their caregivers back during that time.
So if I started with Jane, mm-hmm. and in October I went to Florida and came back in April, you would guarantee that I would still get Jane?
As long as Jane is willing to work with you again, yes.
I knew there was a catch. Okay. Now, did you, when you took over in 2016, did you form the agency, or had it been formed before you joined?
No, it had been formed before I joined, and it's kind of an interesting story. Brenda Fife from Canaan.
Yeah.
She's Brenda Zinke to some. She actually started SVNA Home Assistance in 2012 with the board. And in 2016, she decided it was her time to move on. And she hired me and trained me and taught me everything, most everything I need to know. And in 2019... I decided it was time to open up an office in Sheffield, Massachusetts, because the need right across the border is just as big,
yeah.
And there's nobody.
I know.
And it's tough. So I actually approached Brenda to see if she would want to come back and run that office, and she is. So we kind of have worked with each other through every aspect of home assistance.
There's always the issue of money. Client cost.
Yep.
7 a.m. to 7 p.m. is how much per hour?
$28 an hour.
And nights and weekends per hour?
It's 30.
Okay. Now, when you have someone call up and say, I want home assistance, how do you prepare with the client?
Mm-hmm. So when I get the initial call, I take down information that they know. And a lot of people don't know what they want or need. Some people are just gathering information. But mostly I want to know, why you're calling, what kind of help your loved one might need, and if you have a schedule in mind. And I also ask the big question, which jumps back to our prices, do you have long-term care insurance? Because that's the only thing that does cover us, otherwise it's private pay. And if the client wants to move forward, I always like to go to see the client in their home. That way I can gain a better understanding of who they are, who they were, and also the layout of their house. I look for safety. I look for ideas. A 9 out of 10 times at the end of my visit, most clients or family members ask if I would have any suggestions of what they could do to the house now that I've seen it. And then either they give me the schedule they want or I suggest one. And at that point, I go back to my office and I describe the client, family dynamic, client needs, location, anything that would be helpful to my schedulers. And I give the suggestions of which caregivers on our roster I think would do best. And then from there, they'll start implementing that schedule. So it's a little bit of a process. Mm-hmm. If clients have the gift of time, I encourage them to allow us time before starting services. Time meaning a week to 10 days. That way it could be successful. We can guarantee consistency and it won't feel like things are just being thrown in place because of the lack of time. That doesn't always work.
No, it doesn't. Now, I don't want this to sound difficult, but there's also in the community a service called Shore Service.
Mm-hmm.
when we talked before, I got the impression that the two agencies sort of work together and share.
Yes. I have a huge respect for tour service, and my goal when I came in was not to view them as my competition, but to work side by side together. So throughout the years, tour service can do the same thing that we do, but we can do a few tasks beyond what they can do. So if there is a client, I'll give a general example. We had a client who had tour service in there to do the laundry and the dishes and the cleanup. But that client needed help in the shower one day a week. So I made sure to call tour with the client's permission and say, hey, listen, we've got a mutual client together. Let's work together. When are you there? And then I placed my aide on a spaced out day. And we stay in touch with the family's permission. So if we can work together, we absolutely will.
Wonderful. Now we're going to get into money.
Okay.
What do you guess is your average yearly budget?
To run the business, it's close to $1 million.
And how do you get funding for this?
It's all of it is private pay. All of our services. So because of that, we don't receive any kind of government funding or anything.
So you can do your own thing? You're not regulated by...
We are not.
Do you do fundraisers?
So we do absolutely do fundraisers, but for home assistance specifically, one thing that we did create was a caregiver appreciation fund. Because it is very expensive to run the business, and we wanted to find ways we can reward our caregivers if we can. So clients have donated to that. Outside community has donated. If a client passes away, sometimes they will put in lieu of memory to donate to the Caregiver Appreciation Fund. And with that, we do things like next month, we are hosting a caregiver appreciation party at the Great Falls Brewery, and we're going to provide them, you know, appetizers and prizes and everything, and so that's really what we raise money for, is to show our appreciation for our caregivers.
It's sort of like what they do at Noble.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. You all work together, which is really good.
Yes.
What have I not discussed? Oh, I know something. Patient advocate.
Yes.
Tell me about the bubble pads.
So,
and I was pleased with that because it was mentioned yesterday, insurance, and everybody around me was kind of scratching their head. I know what that is.
Yes, yes. So we do have a program called the Patient Advocacy Program, which is primarily, I run that by myself without the office staff. But going through the aging process is extremely overwhelming and extremely confusing if you don't know what you're doing. And most people don't, and that's okay, because that's not what people want to read about, you know. So I created this program to help with anything from as simple as medication solutions all the way up to long-term care, you know, digesting their policy and explaining it. So, for example, we've had a couple of clients who we have helped who could not manage their medication. We have switched them over to bubble packs. So Sharon Pharmacy is able to do this, but they individually wrap each day's medication based off AM, PM, midday, and they list on the back of the bubble pack what is in it and what the dose is. And that way, clients don't have to be, they don't have to second guess if they just took that one pill and they don't know if they did. It's much more simple and it's straightforward, and you can lay them out. It's got that perforated line for each week. So you could take 1 week, put it out, put the rest away so that there's no confusion.
Wonderful. Do you have anything, your agency now, do you have anything to do with hospice, or is that a separate division?
We work with hospice because a lot of family members either want respite or they just want to be families during this time. They don't want to be the caregiver. And a lot of families feel extremely difficult saying that out loud, but I encourage them to say that out loud. You don't want that to be your last memory if you can help it.
what's the difference between respite care and hospice care?
So for respite care, this is when someone is, whether hospice or not hospice, when the family member needs a break for a shorter period of time. So we have clients who will call us and say, I need 24/7 care through the weekend because I just need to go to sleep. Because they have been that family caregiver for a long time. Whereas hospice care, it's more continued care throughout their process with hospice. So it might initially start as a couple shifts a week helping with meal prep and changing the bed linens, but it might end with 24/7 care where we are making sure your loved one is comfortable. And we're also making sure that you are resting also. That's a big goal.
Oh, yes.
Yes, we have to tell people, go to sleep. It's going to be okay. So that's more long term.
Have I missed anything?
The biggest thing I just want to put out there for
Please.
Our pricing, because we talked briefly about that.
Mm-hmm.
One, and this is generally speaking, and then I'll touch on SVNA home assistance, you always want to ask what's included with pricing. Because, yes, while we are more expensive than most at the time, or at the moment, our pricing includes workers' comp. So God forbid that caregiver walks on your porch and slips on a black ice and breaks her leg. If you didn't have an agency who had that, then you would be responsible for their medical bills and time off of work. So we cover workers' comp, liability. We also cover our caregivers. We bond and insured each and every single one of our caregivers. So this hasn't happened on my watch, and I'm knocking on wood, but God forbid something go missing, call me. We will take care of it. And we also, we don't guarantee scheduling, but we have a roster of 50 to 60 aides. And we also have a second company with just the same amount. So if a caregiver were to call out, we're not going to call you immediately and say, good luck, you know, have fun with your 12-hour shift.
Mm-hmm.
We are going to do everything that we can to find a replacement that's qualified for your loved one. And we have that option since we do have a roster of aides.
Oh, good. Anything else that you want to talk about? We've covered everything. I want to make sure we've covered this well because a lot of people are going to be listening to
yes.
it. In a way, it's I won't say it's a commercial, but it gives
yeah.
people information
yeah.
that they need.
The other thing I think is important for people to know also is that our services do accept long-term care insurance. And that's a big topic in general with the aging population because, first and foremost, a lot of people didn't think staying at home when this became available would ever happen. So a lot of people didn't purchase it.
Yep.
But for those who did, a lot of people aren't aware of the fine print. So if you ever do want to use your long-term care insurance, this is what I tell all of my clients. Start now if you can, because you probably have what they call a 90-day elimination period, which means you have to wait 90 visits before they start reimbursing you. And for people who wait and all of a sudden need 24/7 care, that takes a long time to hit those 90 days, and it's expensive. So if clients call inquiring, I always say, listen, why don't you start with us once a week? Use this as an excuse to have somebody else do your grocery shopping and run your errands. And that way, at least you're crawling to the 90-day mark, and as we need to gradually increase, that's a much easier way of hitting that versus waiting until that 90, or you are at a point where you need full-time care.
All right. You had a couple of dreams that I want to talk about.
Yes.
And I thought both of them were extraordinary.
Thank you.
Tell me about your children's book.
Yeah. So when I was in college, our final project, we had to write a children's book. And, of course, with my dual degree in mortuary science and education, I wanted to integrate death into a children's book, which unfortunately is a big taboo for people. However, when I was growing up, I was able to recognize that parents don't have the conversation that death is a reality with their kids until it's too late. And that's generally speaking. And it's really hard for the child to then go from that experience and be able to understand it. So when I was at school, I, with parent permission, I met with several kids who had terminal diagnosis, and I asked them what they thought happened, what they think will happen when they die. And the answers that I got were, I still get chills thinking about them. One of my favorite answers from a little boy was, I think when I'm going to go to heaven, heaven is going to be like jumping in bowls full of chocolate pudding all day long. And when kids are faced with the unfortunate fact that they aren't going to be able to live like everybody else and as long as everybody else, they see death in a completely different light, and they actually, all answers that I got were positive.
Oh, yeah.
One kid said he can't wait to go to heaven because he's going to go to Disney World every day. So writing a children's book on death where it doesn't scare kids, but it also allows them to understand that it can happen, is my number one goal.
Very commendable. And then you've got a business dream.
I do. So, of course, you know, growing up in the funeral home, going through SVNA, there is a huge need for basically an aging expert in this area, but also nationwide. And, you know, it is a dream of mine to start a company where I can help guide the elderly, but also just the general aging through navigating their elder years. There is a huge risk with elder abuse in the United States and everywhere. And there's also a lot of things that people don't know that could help them financially, but also in general. So if it's as simple as they need somebody to come to their house and help make decisions when they need to downgrade of what should go and what should donate and where you want this to go, which kid do you want each item to go to, that is such a difficult process for people. So I would love to start a company that's similar to geriatric care management where I can guide people through their elder years so that it is not so overwhelming and they can enjoy their elder years because they should.
Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm.
It's supposed to be their golden years.
Exactly.
Is there anything else that you'd like to discuss before we close?
No, I think you hit all the points.
I hope so.
Thank you very much.
You're very welcome.